chapter 8, starting in verse 26. I'm going to read several verses here. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God most high? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding in the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. This is a story we're all probably in here familiar with. I know if I'm speaking on Wednesday night, you're probably not hearing anything new. Something that that you've read and thought about, but I'd like us to think about it again and put ourselves in the shoes of several different people in this story and see how it applies to us today. The first thing I think about is this man. The man that was possessed. The man possessed with devils that he had had for a long time, and he wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Living in death. And you know, when I read this, I think, well, you know, that's pretty rough. I'm glad I wasn't that bad. But wasn't I? Weren't each of us enemies with God? Aren't we in our natural state just as bad as this? Sinners, so incredibly lost that we could do nothing to save ourselves. To think about how terrible we were and how little we could do to save ourselves. How little I could do to save myself. How that should drive me in the future. How to behave, how to act, how to serve. You know, we may not have been possessed with demons. Perhaps there are some in here that have been. I don't know. But what we were possessed with was something that we were no more powerful than he to overcome. Sin and death passed down to us. We were messed up. Messed up people. But Jesus came to this man. And the next thing that I really want to look at here is that Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Verse 30 is where he said that. Jesus said, What is thy name? And what answered? This was not this man's name, right? This was the name of his devils. This was the name of his problems. This was the name of the sin and the affliction that oppressed him. And you know, sometimes I think when God comes to us and he asks, What is your name? We might answer, No, God, I'm useless. I'm weak. I'm poor. You don't want me. We allow our problems to define us. And we can answer that, I'm depressed, I'm weak, I'm not a good person. You all have different things that you may answer, that you think about yourself. Suppositions or problems that you have that force you to think one way or another. You think that those things. And, you know, without the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that problem is, whatever that weakness is, it does define you. It makes you who you are. You're stuck in it. You're a slave to it. There's nothing you can do about it on your own. Completely stuck and a slave to this sin. His problems were defining himself. You know, I think about Moses in the Old Testament. He did this same thing. God called him and he said, God, I'm bad at talking. He said, no, you're Moses and you have me. And what am I? I'm the one who made your mouth. I'm the one who can enable you to speak. Sometimes when God calls us, we respond with our problems. Problems that he is so much greater than. The next observation in these verses, it says in verse 32, and there was a herd of many swine feeding in the mountains, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. I think this is a very clear picture of what sin, of what these demons were trying to do to that man. Destroy them completely. Destroy them completely. That's what sin wants to do to us. Sin wants to build and build and build a power until it's stronger than we are. And it overtakes us and destroys us. Quite frankly, it's kind of amazing that the man had lasted as long as he had in the condition that he was in. But God had a purpose for this man. God had a plan for this man. I was thinking also about this guy and the fact that, you know, I don't know, but did all these demons come at one time? You know, was it just one day legion came, all of them? Or was it a progression? I'm more inclined to think it was probably a progression of adding upon adding. And I say that because of my life and how I know that one little sin, one little slip up, one little let go continues to add and to build until there's a sin there that is raging and trying to destroy me. Before I go on to the next thing, I don't want to overlook the fact here that Jesus had power over the legion of demons. Not just over one demon, but over all of them. He had the power over them, not even that there was a fight. There wasn't even a fight, there wasn't even a battle here, but they came begging from the very beginning. Even though we were in really bad shape, living in death and sin, and even though we can't do anything about what we've got going on and all of our problems, no matter what sin we have allowed to build in us to a level that it consumes us, that it's trying to destroy us, no matter what sin we're living in or we're living around, or no matter what people we know that seem so lost they could never be found, God is easily more powerful than whatever that is. Whatever that thing is, God is more powerful. Verse 35 says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they were afraid. The people were more afraid of God's will, of God's way, of God's freedom than they were of demons. The freedom and liberty of Christ was scarier to them than the power and possession of demons. When God sets out to do something, oftentimes in Scripture, it's misunderstood and it's seen as frightening. People don't like it. You know, the people in the synagogue in Luke 14, when Jesus said that he was that person from the book of Isaiah, they took him out to a cliff. They were ready to kill him. They didn't like what God's will was. In John 18:10, Peter felt so strongly against God's will that he cut off someone's ear. God's will was happening, and Jesus was being taken, and he said, "No, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I don't like this. I'm going to fight against this. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of this happening because I lack faith in what he told me." What he told me was that he was going to go and he was going to be buried and he was going to rise again. But because Peter lacked faith in that, he cut off the ear. You know, I think oftentimes when God does something, when God changes somebody, when God acts in a way that we don't understand, our immediate reaction is to go cutting off ears. Instead of to go back to Scripture, to go back to God, and to think about it. I think many of you who have ever, which is everybody in this room, been involved in ministry at some point, you've had your ear cut off when you were just trying to do what God wanted you to do. By someone who might have been, to a certain extent, well-meaning, but very misguided. And some of you may think of instances in which you, in a reaction to what later was seen as God's will, but in your fear and lack of faith, you were the one who cut someone's ear off. You lashed out. I've been both of those people. We don't like things that we don't understand. They were so afraid. They were so afraid of what God was doing. And in this story, it was unbelievers, but Peter was a believer. Jonah, he got mad at God when things didn't go the way that he thought that they should. When God's will was different than what he thought it should be, he was angry with God. God's will is not always what we think it should be, and thank goodness that it's not. I had my next thought before I said Jonah. Now I forgot it. Give me just a second. Well, maybe it'll come back to me. But like I said, this isn't a big thing with a big ending, a big concluding word. And it's just some things to think about. To remember that on our own, we're sinners. We're no better than this man, and there's nothing we can do in ourselves. A reminder that we should never define ourselves by our problems, because we serve someone who is greater than each and every one of them. And that when God is working, when something happens in the church, we should be very careful. When something happens in the world, we should be very careful not to lash out, but also not to be passive. We should be careful to see what is God's will. What is He doing? Is this God's will? Is it something different? I don't know. For some reason, I hesitate to bring this up just because I don't want to be trendy or whatnot, but I will anyway. Many of you in here, if you've been on social media, you've definitely heard of a new album that came out called Jesus is King. This album was by an artist named Kanye West. Now, some of you may have heard the name Kanye West in the past, and it was associated with some pretty rough things. He was a man who made millions and millions of dollars rapping, mocking the face of God, and using profanity and all kinds of vulgar things, going out straight against God. And yet he now has released an album in which I listened to and was uplifted because Jesus is King. A lot of people are afraid of Kanye right now because they say, look at what he used to be. I'm not sure if I believe it. You're sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed and in your right mind. I'm afraid of that. You know, this man has done things in boldness I don't think any of us could do. I think about the step of baptism to publicly proclaim that I'm not going back. And someone who is making millions and millions of dollars and could have continued to do so, dishonoring God, has said, I'm going to renounce all of that and I'm going to proclaim to the whole world that Jesus is King. Can we not get excited about the fact that God can save anybody? This is someone that I didn't think about specifically, but I would have written off. There's people in your life that you have written off. There's people that you walk by on the street that you think they're not worth your time because you've written them off. But even this man, when possessed by demons, was the image of God. Let us never, ever doubt who our God is. Let us never, ever doubt what He can do in our lives, what He can do in others' lives, and the power that He has. We serve an awesome God. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this day that You've given us. Lord, thank You that You didn't write me off. Thank You that You didn't write off any of the disgusting, nasty sinners that are in this room. Lord, that even after we know You and we go against You, You still love us. And if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive them. Lord, it's beyond what I can understand. Lord, thank You for continuing to be active in the lives of people that I've written off. Thank You for calling other believers to help fill in the gaps that we mess up. For calling people with a burden to help in these different ways. Lord, thank You for putting other people in the body to call each of us out when our will and our heart is not what Yours is. Lord, I ask that when You do things in the church, when You do things in our lives, when You change us, that we would not be afraid of it, that we would not react in fear and start cutting off people's ears and throwing a fit, but that we would be able to, through Your Spirit, through Your sovereign power, through Your teacher, the Holy Spirit that is in us, embrace it. Lord, that when that happens, we would be the ones running up to that man, running up to that thing that You've changed, running and embracing Your will with love and faith. Lord, help us not to doubt You. Help us never to doubt You. In Your Son's name.